show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn, a Baseball Prospectus affiliate. Folks, we got some baseball to talk about as we head closer to the July 31st trade deadline. Things are starting to heat up, and when you're a team as awful and poor as the Royals are and have been this year, then you look forward to two things: the draft and the trade deadline. The draft has come and gone. We had Clint on last week and a couple weeks before to talk about the before and after of the draft. And now onward and upward and onward, whatever way, however you say it, towards the trade deadline. And then after that, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. As for now, we will talk about those things as we're getting closer. But before that, of course, introductions. I am Jeff Hearn. With me is the man who doesn't need any heating up because he's always running hot, Michael Engel. Mike, how are you doing on this, speaking of hot, very hot summer day, Midwest?
Today is like the worst kind of – it's like 101 degrees.
It's pretty awful.
It's gross.
And it's where you just walk outside and you're instantly just sweating.
Yeah, blast furnace.
Yes.
It's like, awesome. Okay, terrible. Cool. Yeah, I hate it. I hate summer. And I always go back and forth about, like, and I'm sure I said this in the winter, It's like, I hate how it's so cold. I wish it was summer. And then now I hate how it's so hot. I wish it was cold.
Yeah, you know? If I had to choose, I'd choose the heat, but it still doesn't mean that it doesn't suck.
I wish we got more than 1 hour of spring.
I know, right? That was pretty. It's like, oh, hey, it's spring. This is all it's summer again.
Right. And if you're at work when that happens, well, sorry, you missed your spring this year.
Yep. It's like bad. It's like that eclipse earlier. I hope you had your spring glasses on, because if not, you might have missed it.
It was raining in Lawrence on the eclipse, so we missed that too.
There you go.
Just missing all the phenomena. Spring,
all
eclipse.
All the things.
Too bad.
Too bad indeed. Speaking of too bad,
yes.
The Kansas City Royals would fit that description. They are 2-10 so far this month, in the month of June, and they're coming off a two-game sweep from the Cincinnati Reds, who are god-awful. So, essentially, they have, by the way, Mike, as you pointed out to me today, I knew their pitching was bad, but they have the 28th ranked ERA, team ERA. Is that team or starters?
Team.
Is it team? Team ERA in all of baseball. And the Royals could not get anything done, to the point where they got shut out last night by the Cincinnati Reds, who are, I repeat, very terrible at the baseball.
Yes.
They came in, you know, only a game ahead of the Royals, and they leave now three games ahead. And when I say ahead, I mean for, you know, worst team in baseball. Of course, the Royals are still chasing the Orioles for that, but that's only in record because – you know, the series that the Royals and the Orioles played earlier in the season, the Royals lost 2 out of 3 in that series. So,
yeah.
You know, there is quite decidedly nothing going right for the Royals right now. Like I said, they've only won two games. They're 2-10 in the month of June. And Mike, as you pointed out to me before the show, they've only scored over 3 runs twice. And they've been shut out 3 times in a 12-game span.
Yeah.
losing 24-0 in those combined in those three games. 16-0 to Oakland to start off the month. Keeping in mind, you know, I mean, Oakland is okay. It's not like they're 27 Yankees or
they're not
or anything.
The Reds, for example.
No, they are not the Reds, but they're also not the Astros, who the Royals will play next, who have, conversely to the Reds, the best team ERA in baseball. Mike, again, as you pointed out to me. So how are you feeling about the Royals right now?
Yeah, well...
That
you know,
something?
When you bring up those shutouts, the three combined shutouts where the Royals allowed 24 runs combined in those three games, the Royals only have 23 runs all month. So even in games where they've scored, they've only scored 23 total runs. So that's pretty bad. One of those games that they won, they blew a lead. They had a lead in that first game against Oakland. They only won it because they happened to get a home run from Jorge Soler in the bottom of the eighth, and that was enough for them to hold on. And they won that game on Saturday in Oakland, 2-0. So it was another one of those examples where, okay, if the other team doesn't score, the Royals have a shot.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you know, they were up 1-0 on Tuesday against the Reds, and Kelvin Herrera was his first real bad outing of the year. Gave up a homer, walked to the Royals, ended up losing in extra innings. But, I mean, that's you score one more run, just one more run, and you don't go to extras. You know, and there it is. So they did not do very well. And it's not going to get any better. They've got Houston coming to town. Then they have to travel to Houston three games later. It's just it's ugly. They're not really in position to do much but get their heads beat in right now. And you know they've kind of wasted some good starting performances too. Ian Kennedy on Tuesday threw 8 shutout innings. Jason Hamill pitched into the eighth last night and looked really good and really efficient. The only thing that's kind of gone well for the Royals.
Can you repeat that, please? I mean,
yeah,
Jason Hamill, and they're getting a good game from him, and they're still kicking it.
And they're still blowing it. So the only thing that's gone well is that the Royals only have one game longer than 3 hours and 11 minutes in the month of June. You know. When one team doesn't do anything on offense, the games go pretty quick. They went through a stretch 2 hours, 16 minutes, 2 hours, 18 minutes, 2:32, 2:27. Some pretty quick games. So, I mean, at least it's quick if it's going
to
be.
Yeah, MLB, take notes. You want to speed up the games? Make sure one of the teams is as crappy as the Royals are this year.
Yeah. It's pretty much what it comes down to. They're just not playing well at all. And it's been like that all year. It's like they'll have stretches where they hit pretty well, but the pitching's not there, or starters are doing okay, but the bullpen's not there and the offense isn't there. And it's just like, you know, last night it was a defense. The defense failed them. They had 3 errors. So, you can't hit, you can't field, you can't pitch. What you going to do, you know? So we'll see. They're probably going to sweep the Astros because baseball's strange sometimes. But
right.
There's also a decent chance that they actually score negative runs because the Astros are good.
They're very good.
You win a World Series and they're loaded and they're pretty good. So
they are pretty good.
Yeah.
They're like if the Royals had won the World Series in 2013 or maybe 2014. That's essentially where they are right now. So they're good and they will be good for a little while. Now, you mentioned the Royals winning 2-0, and in that game, Danny Duffy pitched. You talked about good performances. They did not waste that one, actually. And, Duffy got back on track. You know, last week we talked about how he had 2 good starts and then kind of took a step backwards and had a bad start, but he had by far his best start of the year, earlier this week against Oakland. And just a fantastic performance. Seven innings, no runs, only three hits, 10 strikeouts, three walks. Really good, very Danny Duffy at the peak of his talent type game, right? He looked great. I was actually visiting my sister down in Tulsa this past weekend, and we as her son's birthday party, and afterwards we were watching the Royals game, all sitting there, and he was pitching, and man, he looked pretty good, you know, very efficient, looked like he had control. So that was a very good sign for Danny Duffy, and it's encouraging. And you look at, you know, his last four games, even with that stinker in there, and
relative to his other stinkers this year, it's not that bad.
Hasn't been, you know, if he was having a good year, you'd be like, it was just kind of a bad start. Those things happen. You know,
right.
Four runs in five innings. I mean, these things kind of happen. Not the biggest deal in the world, but even that thrown in these last four games, he's got a 2.1 ERA, 25 innings pitched, 25.2 innings pitched, 19 strikeouts, 12 walks. You'd like that ratio to kind of tick up a little bit, but his last performance was very encouraging, and only six earned runs in that time. So really, you know, and only allowing a 202 batting average and a 281 slugging. So, you know, encouraging signs. You know, if you're looking for something interesting about this team, tracking the kind of progress that Duffy's making towards getting back to where he was, that's an interesting one. And it's been looking pretty good so far, you know. And, you know, those if we're talking about the last four starts when he's kind of started to pitch a little bit better, you know, his first couple starts, he didn't have the big strikeout numbers, and he didn't have, you know, his pitch numbers were a little inflated. But now, you know, his last start, he got those seven innings and 98 pitches, 10 strikeouts. I mean, that's the Danny Duffy you want to see. You're not going to get that every time out, but if you can approximate that, you know, you're looking pretty good. So I thought that was encouraging to see him, because, you know, it's one thing to just see the stat line, but, you know, when you saw him pitch, he looked more in control. He looked more confident than he has so far this season. So I thought that was encouraging.
Yeah, I think Duffy's going to be one of those guys who's still here after this year. We're going to lose a lot of current players for, you know, various reasons. And, you know, Duffy's someone that I feel like the Royals think that if he's pitching well, he might still be around even in that next wave. You know, maybe they extend him another time. But just to see him pitch well, you know, he's the guy they rely on. He's the guy who needs to be spending more time actually pitching well and not, you know, taking the responsibility for not pitching well. You know, give him some different focus. So if he's going to have a game like that more often, or even approaching that, he doesn't, you know, don't have to shut everybody out to have a good game. And you can't expect everybody to shut everybody out every game. So if he just is kind of close and is able to miss more bats and feels more confident and in control of what he's doing, I think that's going to go a long way. It's not going to matter for where the Royals are in the standings, but for his confidence, for his role on the team, you know, I think that's going to be helpful. It's kind of that awkward position of where, like, you know, the Royals right now, they could set a new record for wins in a row and they'd still be under 500. So, I mean, you cannot really think about playoffs. You just can't.
No.
And that sucks, and it makes it really weird on, like, what to figure out to concentrate on this year. But Duffy bouncing back from, you know, first couple months that are really rough, that's something positive to kind of look at, especially considering that, you know, he's going to be here for a while. Jason Hamill, not so concerned about what he does. I'm concerned about how well he pitches because of his trade value. Duffy, I don't believe will get traded. You know,
nope.
I don't think he'll get, if he does, it'll be this off season. And even then I'm still pretty skeptical of it. But a guy like Hamill, yeah, he can get traded. You know, Herrera, I want him to pitch well because I expect him to be traded. You want Moustakas, and, you know, we'll talk more about trade value. I think this time next month is going to be when it really starts to amp up. But you know, I just Duffy's got to pitch well for this year and just for his own sake going forward. And if he's going to have more games like that where he's actually able to get the strikeouts, that's definitely going to be, you know, a big deal for him. Because a couple of games, you know, like two starts ago, three starts ago or something, I think it was that stinker, was the one where it just seemed like he could not get anybody to strike out. You know, he'd get two strikes and they'd foul it off like crazy, and it just, you know, worked up his pitch count. He wasn't getting strikeouts. You know, you end up going from 1-2 to walking a guy, or he gets a hit on 3-2, and it's just like, you know, that vintage 2012, 2013 type of Duffy stuff. But if he's going to miss some bats now, that's going to be very helpful for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you're struggling to find something interesting, and I can sympathize if you are, then that's definitely something to take note of, because it's pretty cool, you know, and to see him start to get back on track. And like you said, he's one of those guys. I mean, I think he signed through 2021. Is that right? Or was it 22?
Oh, I always have to remind myself. I think we'll call it through 2021.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the next three seasons after this one. So he's going to be here a while. And there would be a chance that, you know, in that last year, now granted, he'd be like 32-ish, 33-ish. You know, in that last year, he could be with this next wave that we're talking about. But that's down the road a ways, because we're still hammering out the finalities of this first wave here. We know Duffy's going to be here. We know Salvador Perez is likely going to be here. One person we don't know is going to be here and who would be a big name for the trade market would be Mike Moustakas. However, just as we've kind of feared all season, and the reason he ended up back with Royals in the first place is the market for Mike Moustakas is just not there. So, you know, I heard Buster Olney on the radio this morning essentially say that same thing. He's just like, you know, it's just not there. And they're the teams, you know, that might be interested aren't interested enough to give up what the Royals would want. And the Royals, you know, Dayton Moore was quoted earlier this week saying, you know, they're not going to make a deal just to make a deal, which I almost think, well, why wouldn't you? I mean, you're 24 games below 500. You got Mike Moustakas, who has no interest being back in Kansas City, did it as kind of a, you know, hat in hand, came back, is likely going to be gone anyway.
There's no compensation tied to him.
No comp. You can't give him qualifying offer. You can't get the draft pick, none of that stuff. So, you know, even if it's just some, you know, fringy single A guy, like, why the hell is this something? You know, otherwise he's just going to walk. So in this context, you know, I don't think you should make a deal just to make a deal. You know, if it was, you know, 2013 and the Royals were, you know, competitive in the race and just felt like they needed to do something to try and keep themselves in the race, you know, that's the situation where you don't want to make a deal just to make a deal.
Right.
But in this case, you know, and not because you just want to make a deal in the sense that, like, hey, this will be fun, but just because you need to get something for Mike Moustakas for him being back here. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't know what they can get. You know, there was some talk in the Slack chat between Clinton and Leske today about what, you know, what he could fetch on the market. And it's, you know, the pickings are going to be slim. So hopefully the Royals can find themselves with a partner who's willing to give up a little something that's going to help this team out, you know, for the future. Cause I think that's just good. I mean, that's, I don't know. That's, again, and we've talked about it, you know, before. Moose is, he's a good player. He's a good player to have on your team, but he's not a good enough player to give up valuable something to get him on your team. Cause he's not the guy who's going to put you over the edge. You know, he's the guy who's going to, he's going to keep you from falling back over the edge. You know, he's going to make sure you stay where you are because he's a solid piece, solid addition to any team. But, you know, he's not that difference maker. He's not that guy. And as unfortunate as it is, that's the reality. And that's being reflected in the trade market right now. So that's going to be, you know, Kelvin Herrera is going to get traded. That's so, you know, what their compensation will be, it's going to be solid. You know, it might not be super great, but it's probably going to be like a top 100 prospect level.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be Chapman to the Cubs level.
No, like the four players or whatever that is.
Yeah, like three guys in the top 100, kind of, yeah. But, I mean, he's just as good. It's just that, you know, is there a team going to get that desperate for him? I don't know. I mean, maybe they will, but you can't count on that. We saw that year with Chapman, that was definitely the exception to how the trade market went. Mm-hmm. Because no other trade really matched up to that extent. So, you know, I don't think that's a good barometer for expectations, at least. Like, if you're expecting that, that was already out of the norm when it happened. And teams are even less likely, I'm sure, to blow up like that again. So.
Yeah, and it worked. And, you know, that was something that the Cubs had the ammo to go out and get that trade. And they made it, and they won a World Series. So there it is.
Yep. You know, that's why you make that deal.
Yep. Just like why the Royals made, you know, why Sean Manaea is not a Royal right now. Yep. Because he's performing really well. Because they won a World Series. So we'll call it square. Actually, actually tip the advantage to the Royals.
Sean Manaea wouldn't be doing anything for the Royals right now anyway.
Exactly.
Frankly. I mean.
Right. He'd probably be hurt.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's the way it works.
That is the way it works for the Royals. So, yeah, that's, you know, I don't. So, we know Herrera got traded. We'll see where that leads. But Moose, it's just not there. And it's, you got to wonder what it's like to be, you know, Moose and like Scott Boras right now. You know, what is he telling his client saying, like, hey, Mike, you know, it's, I'm out there, I'm working for you, but it's just. It's just not there, you know. I mean, I don't know what those types of conversations are like, but that's got to suck, you know. Is whether you know, no matter how much you like or dislike Mike Moustakas, that has to be tough to be like, hey, I'm an all-star, a two-time all-star, I am a good player, world champion, and you know, I couldn't get anybody to sign me in the off-season, and nobody wants to trade for me. I mean, it's. It's such a weird dynamic. Just third baseman being so not in need, I guess. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Giants just lost Evan Longoria for a bit. He broke a bone in his hand. We'll see. I mean, maybe that opens it up to something. Maybe that opens it up to a Machado or Donaldson trade. And then a team that wanted those, they can get Moustakas as their, you know, consolation prize. I don't know. I mean, they've got to trade him. I think whatever Dayton is saying about, like, oh, we can't just trade him just to trade him is, like, I don't know. It's like he's acting like they're a 500 team right now instead of 24 games under 500 team. You know, I don't. They also said that the payroll wasn't going to go up 5 years in a row, and it went up each year. So, you know, whatever he says, not that big of a deal to me. But yeah, I think, and maybe next year in the offseason, Moustakas will get a much better deal because he doesn't have that draft pick loss attached to him. You know, that's probably going to help him a lot. But, you know, it's just going to be tough. We talked about it in the offseason. It's like, well, he probably didn't want to do a one-year deal, so he didn't have to be in this situation where he enters the market again and ends up, you know, having to compete against Machado and Donaldson and others. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. He's not having as good a year as last year, but he's still doing okay. So, we'll have to see. You know.
Yep.
I figure we got about 6 weeks of watching Mike Moustakas left. And
yeah.
You know, we've already made our peace with that last year, so it's kind of like, all right, fine.
Yeah, he already got his send-off, and then it's like, oh, by the way, I'm coming back. But six
it's like
weeks
when you
left.
Say goodbye to somebody in the hallway, and you're both walking in the same direction.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, so, see ya.
Going this way,
oh,
huh?
Okay. Hmm. Bye. Oh. Go now.
Oh, yeah. So it's exactly that awkward. And if we have 6 weeks left of watching Mike Moustakas, they're not going to be if the last 68 games to this point have been in any indication, they're not going to be a good 6 weeks.
No, probably not.
And especially his last few games, he's hitting barely 200 in the last couple weeks, and his last month has been pretty poor after a pretty decent start to the season. So, you know, it's, man, the Royals, they just can't catch a break. Maybe if Duffy is, you know, continues this little mini streak that he's on, that'll be kind of the first break, I guess. But there's all that's left is to look towards the future. And that's what we've been doing. We had, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we had Clint on last week to talk about the draft and how the Royals did, et cetera. So we'll give you a little update on that. Mike, you want to run down? Clint prepared this nice little list here of all the signings and what they signed for.
Yeah.
You want to run that down for us?
Yeah, he's got a nice little kind of draft signing and bonus set up here. You know, the Royals have done, they've been very active. They've signed nearly all of their guys. We've talked about how they went very high school heavy later on in the draft after picking a lot of college players. And most of those high school guys are still unsigned. But it's also one of the things, and we kind of talked about this briefly with Clinton, that you know those are guys that if you're going to sign them, you know, 35th round pick or whatnot, it's going to be difficult to sign those guys at a regular type of bonus that you would typically give, like maybe a college senior, a JUCO guy, because you've got to give them a reason to not go to school and try to be higher in the draft in a couple of years. So a guy like Ty Madden, who we talked about, you know, you want to give him some kind of an offer. And so the Royals are right now trying to, you know, fuss around with the bonuses they're giving out to some players. Trying to save some money here. Daniel Lynch was their third pick. They saved, you know, about $366,000 on his bonus compared to slot. They saved almost $500,000 on John Boland's slot. You know, some of those savings allowed them to sign John Heasley, who was considered by some to be a tough sign, but ultimately wasn't very difficult. Really, the only kind of intrigue right now is their top two picks, Brady Singer and Jackson Cower, both of them unsigned simply because they're in the College World Series. They won their super regional over Auburn in dramatic fashion. Interesting little play. I watched Singer start that day, and he had a rough first two innings, and then he kind of cruised. I didn't see Cower's start, but they both pitched well enough. No real worries there. And I don't think there's any worry that they're going to sign either. It's going to just kind of depend on how much compared to their slot they're going to get. Singer's about $3.3 million for his slot as the 18th overall pick. Cower was at about $2.12 million. You know, the Royals have some money to spend. I mean, right now they're sitting in with about, oh, they've got about $10 million to play with still as far as unsigned bonuses. Chris Bubik out of Stanford, he's still out there unsigned. I think he's still taking classes. So, you know, that puts him in a position where, you know, he's going to focus on that before he signs. But otherwise, they've pretty much signed all their guys in the top 10 rounds, which is what's important because that's where your draft pool is formulated. So they've been able to go Kyle Hinton. They gave him an additional bonus. Michael Imodi out of Creighton, he got a big bonus, even though he wasn't in that draft pool group. So, yeah, I mean they're making a lot of progress in there, and most of these guys have signed fairly close to slot. You know, Austin Cox signed for a little bit over, but not much, $100,000 over. Kyle Isbell signed right at slot. So, I mean, they're saving in the spots where they can, and even the savings they got from John Boland cover the guys who signed for over down the line. So they've got money to play with, and I don't think they're going to have any kind of issue with signing guys. So, you know, you get to bring those guys in. Singer, Cower, those guys could be top 10 Royals prospects as soon as they sign. Guy like Isbell could definitely be. Clint compared him a lot to Whit Merrifield, I believe it was. Michael Imodi was compared to John Buck. you've got some talent out there. So I think it's important to get those guys in. Even more important, the biggest thing is it's June 14th. You know, think about years ago and the Bubba Starling watch. Or think about Eric Hosmer signing and down to the wire, where technically he signed after midnight past the deadline, but there was some hinkiness and it was able to stand. He, along with Pedro Alvarez, kind of fell into the same spot. And Bubba Starling, I remember a whole bunch, like I think it was like 100-some people were just in a chat room talking about minor league baseball, waiting to see some announcement that Bubba Starling had signed, because at that point, the deadline was August 15th. And, you know, that matters now, because the focus over the last couple of CBAs has really been to find a way to get these players signed, get them into camp. And so, you know, it's not like back before 2007, where the Major League draft was kind of a draft and follow, and you could, you know, draft a guy and you had until basically the next draft to sign him. You know, a full year, and if you didn't sign him, okay, well, you didn't sign him. You know, then they added the deadline, but then they moved it up even more, so now the deadline, the Royals have a month to sign the rest of these guys. And even if they go and July 15th comes up and they sign them right at the deadline, there's still plenty of time. Short season ball doesn't start until next week. You've got full season baseball in the minor leagues will continue through late August, early September. So you've got, you know, 6 weeks or so from that deadline where you can still get guys out there and see what they can do on a minor league field, even if it's only a few innings. And I think that's really important. And I think that's, you know, a goal that most teams would try to reach, is get all your guys signed. Everybody who you can sign, get them signed up, get them sent out to wherever you're going. You know, if they're going to play regular, you know, season baseball, short season or otherwise, get them on those teams and see what they can do. And I think sometimes that experience can be really valuable. We saw last year, Nick Prado ended up in the Arizona League as a rookie right after he signed and got 52 important games. And now he's playing full season baseball right now with Lexington. I think that's really important for his development, to be in a situation where he's playing a full season of baseball against pros after being the Royals' first-round pick. And he made an all-star team. So he made the all-star team in the South Atlantic League. So good for him. The best example of this, though, is Khalil Lee, who was 17 when he was drafted in 2016, and I think it was the third round. He ended up going to Arizona as well for their rookie league. He played 49 games. You know, it's a good amount of time. That's a good chunk of season for a guy fresh out of high school. He hit 269, got on base at a 396, and slugged 484, you know, basically as a high school senior. And started the year last year in Lexington as an 18-year-old kid. So I think that's really important. You see him now. He's in Wilmington. He's cruising. He's hitting great. He's 19 years old, you know. So I think being able to sign early, get into the system, get into games, I think that really benefited some of those guys. And, you know, I think some of the guys in this draft are going to benefit because that deadline has been moved up, especially when it's pretty arbitrary. You know, it's like there's no real reason for that deadline to have been August 15th. You know, it's just a deadline. You could say it's any day and it's fine. You know, it's just, okay, here's your deadline to sign these guys. So now it gives teams an incentive to get the deals done, get them out of the way, and get your guys sent out. You know, so I think that's pretty exciting. And as soon as Singer and Cower end up signing, they'll end up going someplace, and, you know, we'll get to kind of follow along with them and see how they're doing. And then next year they'll have that experience under their belt as they start at whatever level they're going to start at. I think Clint mentioned some thoughts about getting them started at Wilmington next year. So if they can get in and pitch in, like, say, Idaho Falls or Burlington this year, and maybe one start at Lexington before their season ends, you know, then maybe that puts them in a spot where, yeah, they start in Wilmington next year with a hope to be in Double A very soon. And if that's the case, then you're in good shape. If they have to start next year, I think he might have mentioned that they might just work on them in instructs too. I don't remember what Clint said, but you know, it puts them in a position where if the Royals want to send them out, see what they can do in games against other minor leaguers, they can go find out. They can get that information and then make their decision easier next year.
Yeah. And that's very valuable, you know, and that's why they changed it. That's why they collectively bargained to have that deadline changed so that they could have those things figured out. You know, so that's a very valuable tool, and it's that'll be fun to follow. They seem like, especially after, you know, I got a little bit more pumped after last week talking to Clint. Just what it, you know, just from him, the way he sounded, the kind of competitor that Singer is, and the kind of ceiling that Coar has, you know, just it made me really excited for these two. So I'm excited to get them into the system and follow them as they progress. But it's also going to be interesting to see how they do in the College World Series. You know, I mean, they won last year, so yeah. That's, you know, they've been there and they've done that, and so now they're going for that repeat. And, you know, I mean, there's no need to rush them, of course. So there's no possibility of a Brandon Finnegan, like, you know, double World Series appearance in the same year.
Sure, yeah.
You know, not that no such thing
that
will
would
occur
be
this year for them. Yes, that would not be smart because they don't need it. But it'll be fun nonetheless to see them as they come through the system, you know, and it's kind of amazing. Brady Singer, his draft slot, $3.3 million. I mean, wasn't too long ago that was what your number one pick in the draft was getting. I mean, what did Luke Hochaver sign for? Let's see,
like 3.5 or something.
Hochaver draft bonus, $3 million.
Yeah.
Oh no, it was 3.5.
And I think he might have gotten a major league contract as part of it. Maybe. I mean, they could still do major league contracts at that point. I don't think that changed until after Strasburg or something. But yeah, I mean, totally a different time. I mean, yeah, there's.
I mean, that was 12 years ago, but still, in 12 years,
that's your number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And now that money's going to the 18th overall pick. Yeah, it's pretty significant.
Most certainly.
Yeah.
So let's see. What else have we got to cover here?
Jorge Bonifacio's back.
Oh, yeah.
At least in Omaha. He's going through a rehab. Basically, this is another spring training since he's been suspended for so long. He's eligible to come back on the 29th. They give him 15 days coming off a suspension for rehab. So he's, you know, he's doing that. He was 1-for-4 last night. Just like a little flare into center field. He struck out twice. But you know, he's going to get his stuff back. And then once he comes back, then the Royals have a decision to make on Abraham Almonte and Paulo Orlando, and you know, neither of them played very well.
Because that's the Royals' life now.
That's where the Royals are. Yeah, yeah. You have to keep one. Do we really? Okay.
Oh, we can't just let them both go.
I mean, they could. They could.
Yeah, they could. Stranger things have happened.
I doubt they would let them both go, but they could.
It is the Royals.
It is the Royals. I mean, that's the big news. The minor league All-star teams are starting to come out. Some of those games are next week. Clint Riddle, who he wrote for me at Kings of Kaufman towards the end of my run there. He is in Lexington, so he sees those guys in low A all the time. He wrote up the four All-stars from Lexington's team. That would be MJ Melendez, who we've talked about quite a lot. Sebastian Rivera, who is also a catcher. Two catchers from Lexington made the All-star team. It's unusual for two catchers from the same team to make it.
Very unusual.
Sully Matias made that team. He leads the whole organization with 20 homers. The minor leagues with 20 homers. And Nick Prado. Nick Prado made the team. He's got 10 doubles, 7 homers. So that's pretty cool. I would encourage people to go read Clint Riddle. He's under Doc Riddle because we already have Clint. So
right.
There can only be one. It's like Highlander. There's only one Clint, but there's also a Doc. So he's got a post on BP Kansas City about the legends. A couple guys from Wilmington made their all-star team in the Carolina League. Notably, Brian Brickhouse, who's having a good year, as we've kind of talked about a bit. And Khalil Lee, who obviously we've talked about quite a lot. You know, 19 years old. He's got 12 steals. He's hitting 280. He has like an 850 OPS in the Carolina League, you know, in Wilmington. So not the friendliest league or park to play in. And he's hitting well. He's slugging well. You know, he's just playing a good all-around game out there. So really excited to kind of see what he's doing. Cort Peterson's also out there. He doesn't get much play, but people are starting to talk about him a little bit more. I think he was the May Minor League Player of the Month or something. He's got 26 extra base hits out there at 57 games. And DJ Burt, he's got 16 steals. He's got a good on base out there in Wilmington. So he made the team. Whole bunch of guys made the Texas League All-Star team. They've split it up so that there are a lot of guys from a lot of teams. Because Foster Griffin made that All-Star team, and he's got a 5.63 ERA. So It's a little weird to see him make that team.
We'll call that weird.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But they do have a couple of guys, like Nicky Lopez we've talked a bit about, Elia Hernandez we've talked about in the past.
Elia Hernandez, man.
Yeah, he's
fine. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
When he signed.
Yeah.
It was him and Mondesi. That was a big deal.
Yeah. He's finally kind of getting it going. You know, he's got like almost a 900 OPS out there, or almost, what is it? Yeah. Yeah. He's up there. 17 doubles, hitting over 300, doing pretty well. Nicky Lopez is playing really well. Clint Scholes thinks he's going to be up in Omaha soon. He's probably right. He's usually pretty solid on those kind of things.
Clint's usually pretty right when it comes to those sorts of things.
Right. And Jackson Flores is, you know, hitting crazy out there too, who doesn't get hardly any kind of coverage. Guys, he's like 23 years old. So he's kind of getting up there, but, you know, you slug 448, hit 300. You know, you're going to catch some attention. So he's out there too. Eric Mejia, who came over in that Soria trade, he's also on that all-star team. 16 extra base hits, playing some second base out there. So, you know, pretty solid. Pretty okay. The AAA All-Star game, they have a fan vote going on. So that's not going to end until a week from Thursday the 15th, which would be the 22nd. If you know your calendars. So they're doing fan votes for that. You know, I guess some guys could get picked from the Storm Chasers for that. Mondesi's doing okay out there. You know, Omaha's not really where you're going to find your main guys, and the good pitchers have been pulled up already. So we'll see if, you know, who makes it from that. But yeah, fan votes will go out there. Have fun voting on guys playing in AAA. You know, just pick Storm Chasers.
Yes.
Frank Schwindel's having a good enough year probably to make that team. I would say yeah. Ryan O'Hearn's playing pretty well. So those are probably your two best bets. But, you know, for the most part, not a lot of guys out in Omaha doing a whole lot of stuff. And if they are, they come up to the big leagues. So,
yep.
So there it is. So that's kind of the exciting stuff in the minor leagues, you know, just guys getting some accolades. The South Atlantic and Carolina League All-Star Games will be on the 19th. Texas League will be a week later. I'm not sure where the AAA All-Star Game is, but that one's always structured a little differently because it's the Pacific Coast League versus the International League. And so you end up, you know, with you know, whole chunk, you know, it's a lot more widespread. It's not like where you get seven guys from the Naturals on
right.
one team. You can spread it out quite a lot more. But, you know, that's kind of the other big news that's kind of come up. And I think as, you know, as we've kind of guessed we would do this year, and as I think a lot of other people are doing, the minor leagues are, again, that kind of, you know, maybe you're not watching, you know, every box score, you know, but it's really easy to keep up with that stuff. And if you're paying attention to that out of the corner of your eye, even, I'm pretty sure you're paying more attention than you were in 14 and 15 when it was just, you're watching the standings all the time. So, those are some good names to kind of, if you're looking to get back into watching and paying attention to the minor leagues, you know, those are your all-stars in the organization. So, those are good guys to kind of start with if you're going to follow some guys. Of course, you know, just go to follow Clint's Twitter account and
right.
read Diamonds in the Rough every day, and you'll get caught up really quick. So, you know, those are kind of the interesting guys out there who are doing well. Another guy I didn't mention, Jake Newberry, who the closer down in Northwest Arkansas, has 36 strikeouts in 28 innings. Not bad.
I'd say that's pretty good.
You know, only 7 walks. You know, he doesn't get much mention, but I think you see his name pop up, but he's never considered anything in like a prospect realm, but he's pitching well down there. So good to see him get some recognition for it.
Absolutely. So I think that's all we have to cover for you this week. Unfortunately, it wasn't as positive as we would like it to be, but that's kind of where the Royals are now. So that's our job to talk about the Royals. And well, it's not a job. It's a choice. It's a hobby. But to talk about the Royals and then try and find something positive. So we'll try and be more positive as we go.
We'll try.
We're going to need it as we get towards the long haul of the season. We're going to need that positivity. So we'll try our very best to make that happen. So we'll leave you with that whenever it is listening to this show. We'll be back next week. More Royals talk. Maybe some more news with draft signings as we tick towards that deadline. Maybe some trades. Maybe some trade news. Who knows? We keep going forward with all that stuff. So as we get closer and closer, there'll be more and more things to talk about. And we will be here to talk about them all. So we will see you next week. Until then, if you need more Royals info, be sure to visit our sponsor, BP Kansas City, of course, as Mike was talking about. You follow Clint on Twitter. You can also read his stuff online if you want to learn some more about the farm system or some of these new signees that they've had from the draft, as well as all the other great stuff from Craig Brown, David Lesky, et cetera, from writing about the Major League team. So be sure to visit them. And then if you want to have a few drinks to lessen the pain after having just watched a Royals game, that they got shut out by the Cincinnati Reds, perhaps, then you should go to Kelly's and get yourself a few brews, and it's always a good time. It'll put you in a better mood, for sure. So be sure to do that. And they've always been such a great sponsor to us. It would help us out. So thank you all so much for listening. We're back next week. Until then, thanks for stopping by. And as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com.